am not ashamed of the good news about salvation through Messiah Jesus, because this message and this message alone is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles, and salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our greatest need. Shalom, this is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Justin Krohn is National Ministries Representative with Chosen People Ministries, and Justin is also the director of the Experience Israel Program, a spiritual pilgrimage program for young adults. Justin is a frequent speaker at churches and campus ministry gatherings on topics related to the Jewish roots of the Christian faith, the history of Christian anti-Semitism, and building redemptive bridges within the Jewish community. Justin and his wife Judy have three children and are members of the North Shore campus of the Willow Creek Community Church in Northfield, Illinois, where Justin serves on the Leadership Advisory Council. I've known Justin for years. Justin, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thank you, Lauren. It's great to be on with you today.
Thank you so much, Justin, for being my guest. Well, let's start off with your story. Tell us, how did the living God, the three-in-one God of Israel, reveal himself to you, Justin, and that Jesus is the Messiah? How has Jesus made you kosher?
Well, you know, the story starts with my mom, who grew up in a conservative Jewish home in Skokie, Illinois, which at that time, oh boy, about 40 years ago, had a very large Jewish community, and it still does today. She attended synagogue on a regular basis and especially showed up during the high holidays when it was, of course, very important to kind of get that whole sin thing taken care of, at least as far as she was concerned. And she also was a typical Jewish person, and she enjoyed fine Jewish delicacies like you and I enjoy, Lauren, like matzo ball soup and lox and bagels. And this
sounds
was really
good, Justin.
Her understanding, at least I hope you enjoy that, Lauren. You might need to make that clear with
I absolutely
listeners.
Do, Justin. Nothing like a good matzo ball soup and lox and bagels with a little bit of onion and cream cheese. I mean, doesn't get much better than that.
It doesn't, and we should bring things back to my story before we get everyone distracted with thinking about what their stomach is telling them. But she really understood that there was really two people groups in the world. There was us, the Jews, and there was them, the Christians, everybody else, and that it was really best to keep it that way. Well, she didn't do a very good job keeping it that way. She ended up getting involved with the man who became my father. And he grew up in a Catholic family, but at this season of his life was professing to be an atheist, and still does actually to this day. Well, they ended up going through a very difficult season in their lives. And this season really compelled my mother to start asking deeper questions. And she was working in the city of Chicago at the time, and she would take the train to work every day, and when you take the train to work at the same time, you often see the same people. Well, there was an African-American man on that train who was a follower of Jesus, and he had a prompting. He sensed that the Holy Spirit was saying, hey, Josh Wiggins was his name. Josh, you see that white Jewish woman? She deeply matters to me, and you've never looked into the eyes of someone who doesn't matter to me, and I want you to do what you've been called to do in this world, and that's be my hands and be my feet. Be a vessel of grace and mercy and compassion in this woman's life. And so Josh, being obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to the nudge of God upon his heart, got up out of his seat on that train, and he stepped way outside of his comfort zone. And he walked up to my mom and said, I know this is going to sound pretty strange, but it just seems to me like you can use a you could use a friend. And she did. Over the next several months, he started building a friendship with her. and just started unfolding God's redemptive story in his own life, how a Jewish rabbi from Nazareth had radically impacted and transformed his life. And he challenged her to investigate the messianic prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures and to read the Gospels in the New Testament to see if Jesus was the fulfillment of those prophecies. And she took him up on that challenge, doing something that she knew would probably not make her parents or grandparents very happy. But she did it, and she was utterly compelled by the evidence. In fact, she told me how she walked into her rabbi's office, and she said, "How come you've never told me this stuff before?" And he didn't really give her a good answer, and she walked out of that meeting knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that there could be none other but Yeshua, but Jesus, who is the promised Messiah of Israel, and more so for her at that point, her promised Messiah and the leader and the forgiver of her life. And so then it was just a few years later then, when I was just 8 years old, that Josh and his wife Liz and their three daughters, Angie, Tasha, and Tina, had the opportunity to team up on me to help me understand that the most Jewish thing that any Jewish kid could ever do is embrace Jesus as Messiah. And with as much faith and understanding as I had at that early age, I embraced Jesus as my Messiah and started my journey with him.
Justin, that's great. So Josh was an African American.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
Way outside of his comfort zone.
I really like that because God has given me a special relationship with a number of African-American pastors over the past 20 years here in Metro Detroit, my friend John Denson, my other friend, Pastor Germando Jordan. And, you know, we got this black Jewish thing going. And, in fact, Pastor John Denson, this dear friend of mine, started a ministry called Shalom Ministry. And it is dedicated, you know, it's led by African-Americans trying to encourage the African-American church to really be interested in, you know, Jewish evangelism and the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. So hearing that Josh was an African-American that really reached out to your mother and was sensitive and showed her those, that's just tremendous to me.
It really is. And it should be a testimony to anyone that you don't have to come from a Jewish background to have impact in the life of a Jewish person. You don't have to be a Hebrew scholar in order to be an effective witness for the transforming and redemptive work of God in the lives of people. And I'm often, you know, asked, you know, by you know, followers of Jesus, like, you know, what do I do and what do I say? And I always say, first and foremost, just be committed to wanting to humble yourself and acknowledging that God is real in your life, in loving your Jewish neighbor wherever they're at, but also, of course, be committed to the journey of learning and growing and asking good questions and taking an interest in your Jewish friend's life, and just allow the Holy Spirit, allow God to do what God is best at. And it's amazing to see how God works when we, in a sense, kind of get out of the way or put ourselves in the right position for God to work.
Yes. Justin, thank God for obedient Christians like Josh who are willing to take a chance and get outside of their comfort zone in order to bring the good news about the Jewish Messiah to the Jewish people, right?
Amen. Amen.
And it takes a little bit of courage. And I think, Justin, I think that's really what is holding a lot of people back. We don't like rejection. It's not easy to, you know, bring the good news and, you know, you're afraid of being rejected. But thank God for those Christians who have that chutzpah, that courage, those guts to do what the Lord is asking us to do.
Exactly. Be willing to take a risk. Oftentimes I'll say, you know, have you invited your Jewish friend to go to, if you attend a Messianic congregation, to go with you, or if you go to a church, to come to church with you? Have you made the ask? And oftentimes the answer is Well, no, because I just don't think that they're going to want to go. And I said, well, so you've already made the decision for them, haven't you? You haven't even given them the opportunity to make that decision whether or not they will go. And so make the ask. Let them make that choice. And even if they say no the first time, that doesn't mean you can't ask again. Be persistent. Be bold. Of course, be gracious and loving and test the door before, you know, opening up that door. I mean, I think a lot of times people kind of bash down the door rather than first checking to see if the door is open with our Jewish friends and neighbors. And I don't mean literally walk in their house, but I mean the doors of their hearts.
Yeah. Justin, I know a lot of Christians who are listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher have Jewish friends or neighbors or coworkers, maybe even Jewish family members. And I would love it if they would invite their Jewish friend or coworker or neighbor to come with them maybe on a Saturday morning to, you know, Congregation Shema Yisrael. Wouldn't that be cool? And
that would
I think,
be great.
You know, I think what Josh did, just focusing your mom's attention on some of those key messianic prophecies, which honestly most Jewish people have never read. They're not familiar with Isaiah 53 or, you know, Isaiah 9, which talks about a child being born to us and a son giving, you know, being given to us. And, you know, he's this supernatural baby who's also the mighty God who will sit on the throne of David. Most Jewish people are not familiar with these basic messianic prophecies. It was so wonderful, you know, for Josh to point your mom to them and also just to challenge her to read, you know, maybe Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, which were written by Jewish people and are, you know, is about a Jewish guy.
Yeah. And you know, Isaiah 9:6 tells us that he, the Messiah, would be a wonderful counselor. In other words, that he would be this amazing teacher. And when you read the Gospels, when you read these accounts of Jesus' life, and you read what he taught, oh, man, will you, just as those in his day, will you be compelled by the amazing authority of his teachings? And so often, I've heard stories of people just who could not resist Jesus because they were just amazed by his teachings.
You know, that was partly my experience, Justin. I mean, I grew up also right next to your mom, not in Skokie, but in Wilmette. And I went to a big Reform synagogue on Lakeshore Drive. And when I was a teenager, I started reading the New Testament, you know, for the first time. And I was so impacted by Jesus and his teachings, and the first time I read the Sermon on the Mount, it was so powerful to me. These exalted ethics, which are so different from a corrupt world's values. And Justin, I've said this before. If you know, as messengers of the good news, as representatives of the Lord who are entrusted to bring the good news to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile, if we can get people reading the Bible, doesn't matter if they're Jewish or Gentile, if we can just get people seriously, like, reading the Bible, you know, God's word is powerful and really can start causing us to come alive spiritually.
Absolutely. One Jewish friend of mine who came to embrace Jesus as Messiah, part of her journey was reading the Hebrew Scriptures, reading the Old Testament. In fact, the way she put it was she first had to fall back in love with God before she could fall in love with Jesus. And for her, falling in love with God again was really influenced by her reading the Hebrew Scriptures. And so you're absolutely right. I love how Paul said to his protege Timothy that all of Scripture is God breathed, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training, so the person of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And of course, Lauren, you and I know that when that was written to Timothy, the New Testament Scriptures didn't exist yet, and so here's Paul saying to Timothy, if you want to be effective at the work, at the life that God has called you to, well, you better know the Bible Jesus read. And I would be so happy if more followers of Jesus dug deeper into studying the Hebrew Scriptures?
I would too, Justin. And I think, as you know, Messianic Jews, as Jewish believers, that's something we can encourage the church to do, and should encourage the church to do, and you know, challenge them to get back to those Jewish roots. You're listening to Rabbi Lauren. This is Jesus Made Me Kosher, and my guest right now is Justin Krohn, an old friend of mine. Justin, you are passionate about Christians rooting Jesus more solidly in Jewish soil. What does that mean?
Well, what that means, partially just what we've just talked about knowing the roots, the heritage, the foundation of our faith, and also understanding, too, that Christian spirituality in its essence is Jewish. You know, we're talking about a Jewish rabbi who lived in a Jewish world, who was born to Jewish parents and celebrated Jewish holidays, who did some of his teachings and miracles tied directly into some of these Jewish festivals. And to remember, too, that the New Testament was written primarily by Jews, primarily to a Jewish audience, about the greatest and most influential Jewish rabbi who ever walked the face of the earth. And so sometimes I think it's really important that we have this paradigm shift in regards to how we look at our faith. I know in the church that I grew up in, it was very clear to me that this was not a place where Jewish people enjoyed hanging out. There weren't, as I would say, a lot of Jews in the pews. And I know there's a long history, and I'm sure on some of your previous programs you talked about the history of Christian anti-Semitism and oftentimes the climate within a church that doesn't help Jewish people feel necessarily all that safe or welcome. And my challenge to the church is to really to think more intentionally about how you can make your church a safer and more sensitive environment for Jewish people who want to investigate the life and teachings of Jesus.
I like that, Justin. I don't think that is the way most churches are thinking. I don't think that's something that they're particularly concerned about, though.
But no, I would say you're right, but I will say in the 15 years or so that I've been in full-time vocational ministry focused on reaching our people, is that I have seen an increase, a greater sensitivity, but you're right, the church has a long way to go.
But you think it's important, and if you know, I started off the program by quoting Romans 1:16, that the gospel, the good news, is designed by God to go to the Jewish people first as a divine priority, but also to the Gentiles. So you would think that, you know, also Romans 11, salvation has come to the Gentile Christians to make them so that they can make the Jewish people jealous. So that tells me that, you know, God wants his Gentile sons and daughters to have an interest and a passion for Jewish evangelism and Jewish ministry and reaching the chosen people with the good news.
Yeah, and Paul there in Romans chapter 11 directly links the salvation of the world to the salvation of the Jewish people. In effect, what he's saying is, if you're serious about world missions, if you're serious about reaching the world with the good news that the Messiah has come, then you have to be serious about proclaiming that message to the Jewish people. If you're not, in effect what he's saying, if you're not serious about that, well, then you're certainly not serious about other people coming to know the greatest message that's ever been told.
So you're challenging the church, Justin, to be more intentional about creating an atmosphere where Jewish people who might be interested in hearing about the Messiah can come and feel more comfortable, more at home, that this is someplace with a Jewish connection? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I think We need to do this in simple ways. Language, of course, is always helpful. But why don't we say the word Messiah more? Why always say Jesus Christ? Why not say Jesus the Messiah? That terminology, Messiah, that resonates with Jewish hearts and ears. I mean, I think if you were to ask a lot of people, what does Christ mean? I think the average person on the street today would say, well, it's just another name for Jesus, or it's his last name, you know, like he was born to Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Christ. But it's not. These words that we use have meaning, and they can create an atmosphere that will help a Jewish person connect more with the message that we're trying to communicate. I think, too, whenever communion is celebrated in a church, I think it would be so helpful if we would occasionally remind people that it was a Passover Seder, it was a Passover meal that Jesus was observing with his disciples. Maybe even around the high holidays, it might be a good idea to talk about atonement and to link communion to the whole theological teaching on atonement, but to use words to speak about Old Testament Hebrew concepts that would resonate more with Jewish people.
I like that, Justin. Emphasizing Jewish holidays and Jewish words. When I was growing up, I literally thought that Jesus Christ was the son of Joseph Christ and Mary Christ. I did. I did not understand that Christ was simply, another title for Messiah. And if there was a Christian who just like tried to communicate that to me, I think it would have caused me to start thinking about Jesus, Yeshua, much earlier than I actually did.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why it excites me when there's churches today who not only have, say, a Passover Seder, they'll have someone like you or me come in and talk about the Passover and its fulfillment in Yeshua just once, but they'll bring us in more than once. Sometimes there's some churches that I come in now every year, and there's some churches now who they say, I know, Justin, you can't be with us this year, but can you give us your notes so that we can lead it, so that we can do it? And I love when you see followers of Jesus who have an appreciation for the roots and heritage of their faith, who live it out, who bring it even into their homes. I know so many Christian families now who they actually have a Passover Seder in their home, and they'll invite friends and neighbors. And I think when more followers of Jesus do those type of things, not because they're trying to, you know, broker grace or mercy from God, but simply as a means, as a vehicle for connecting with God's redemptive and restorative work in their lives, I think that has a powerful testimony to our Jewish friends and neighbors.
I agree, Justin. Well said. Also, I would love it if occasionally churches would fulfill the scripture, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Justin, thank you so much for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher today. You were articulate and passionate, and I really appreciated your challenging, the Christian church to be more involved in some of those Jewish roots of the Christian faith and bringing the good news to our Jewish people. So thank you, Justin. And I pray, you know, God's shalom on you and your ministry with Chosen People and your ministry at Willow Creek and the Experience Israel program. So you're listening to Rabbi Lauren. This is Jesus Made Me Kosher. And Rabbi Glenn and I hope to be back with you tomorrow for another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. So from all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, I pray that you experience shalom, shalom, God's perfect peace.
Do Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.